bread of life, who comes to Jesus, takes Jesus in, consumes Jesus, will never be hungry again. Well, we started with a story from the book of Ruth where there's a family that's hungry, and there's a certain man who has a wife and two kids, and they're hungry. And that wife's name is Naomi. And we're going to hear a lot more about Naomi over the next couple of weeks. And they have to leave the land. They have to leave Bethlehem. Now, it's interesting. Bethlehem means house of bread. So there's no bread in the house of bread for a family. But as you read through that story, you put it in the context, there is bread in the house of bread. Simply, no one's sharing that bread with others. There's a scarcity mentality, and God is calling God's people to be an abundant people, to be generous with what they have. Because when Naomi comes back from where she was, there's plenty of bread to go around. So God is calling God's people to be generous. And Jesus comes along and says, well, I am the bread of life. And if you are consuming, if you are coming to Jesus, what happens to you is that you begin to lay aside some of the things of this world and you lean into what God is calling God's people to do. The Apostle Paul calls it the fruits of the Spirit. More love, more peace, more patience, more hope, more joy, more generosity, and more self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Well, we don't see a lot of the fruits of that, of the Spirit in our world right now, especially in our nation. Over the last couple of weeks, I was given some, let's say, some feedback from some folks after we played a statement online about who we are. We're people that are trying to live the fruits of the Spirit. And I was told that I was too conservative. I was told I was too liberal. I was told I was too political. I was told I wasn't political enough. That's fun. I was told I was a false prophet. And then I was told I was a racist. Have they seen me? As a biracial person, I wonder if they know something I don't know. Is my white part fighting with my black part? I'm not sure. Is my Cameroonian heritage fighting with my Scottish heritage? Maybe they know that. Is my Irish heritage fighting with my Nigerian heritage? I may have to go to a psychologist. But people are swinging. And I'm a big boy. It's not about me. I've been called worse in my life. And be okay. But I feel sympathy and empathy for people who are coming to everything else other than the bread of life, other than Jesus. Because if you're consuming Jesus, the only choice for you is to live the fruits of the Spirit. Now, we don't do them perfectly. We're going to mess it up. And yeah, we get angry and frustrated. But God knows this about us. And God continues to call us to this bread of life. Because when we consume all this other stuff that's going on, we're more likely to swing at one another, and we're always going to be hungry. If we put our faith in all this other stuff that's going on in the world, if that becomes our identity, we're always going to be hungry. That stuff is never going to satisfy. But Jesus, the bread of life, proclaims to us that Once we consume Jesus, if we do it and make it a daily practice and a discipline, we will never be hungry again. It's not always easy to do. But as I think about it, my call here at Prince of Peace isn't to this all this stuff. It's to continue to point us over and over and over again to Jesus. No matter what's going on, Jesus, the bread of life. And I need to be reminded too. I was reminded this past week as I was sitting on my computer reviewing my sermon for this Sunday, and I got an email that popped up and it said, please, you got to watch this video. And it was a very encouraging video. We're going to show it to you just in a minute. But it reminded me of the bread of life. And I thought, in our world right now, more and more people that are able to watch this story might be able to point out and see the bread of life, to see the fruits of the Spirit, to be able to lean in to that. Now, I have an amazing sermon that I was going to do today. It was amazing. I tell you what, I didn't delete it. I left it so I can use it next year, because you won't remember. We probably had this conversation. But you will remember the video. And it's a classic story involving two different types of people. And when we watch this video, you may wonder what's going to happen at the end. And I think that you will be surprised. Let's watch what the bread of life looks like in our world.
Only on 9, a moment of humanity captured on one deputy's body camera. One woman says the act of kindness changed her life.
Can you hug?
Yeah.
Come here.
Channel 9's Cabarrus County reporter Hannah Getz heard about this story months ago and pushed the courts to release the video. And tonight, we finally get to share it with you.
From the lens of Cabarrus County Deputy Sean Singleton's body camera, this view is nothing out of the ordinary. A standard traffic stop.
There is a stop just 61 and 45.
But in his line of work, it's also not out of the ordinary to have an interaction like this.
You wouldn't put your lights on until after I slowed down.
Right.
I was going the speed limit.
No, but I clocked you at 61 and a 45. I didn't stop you there. What's with the attitude? Just curious.
Caitlin Ricchini says she was heading home from church when she got pulled over that Sunday.
And I meet him with absolute attitude. Just absolute attitude. We're not allowed to have bad days.
No, everybody's entitled right, to a bad day.
So
I understand that.
Getting like
I said,
pulled
but
over
I,
on a day is not fun.
No, I can understand that completely. Okay, but like I'm trying to be nice and courteous to you, and like I'm getting a lot of heat.
I could tell immediately that it was not the best of encounters. She was very aggravated.
I come from a background where I don't do cops. I can't stand cops.
Keeping his composure, Singleton ran her license and decided, despite the heated interaction, to let her off with a warning.
I understand you're having a day, so I'm not trying to make it any worse. This is a warning ticket for you to slow down. That's it. No court date, no fines, no nothing. I'll ask you to pay attention to the speed limit signs, get to where you're getting to safely.
In that moment, something changed.
You know, I could tell something was going on, but I just asked a question, you know, and sometimes it elicits an answer that you expect, and sometimes it elicits an answer that you don't expect.
Are you good?
No.
No?
Anxiety is killing me.
Okay.
I come from a background. I'm clean and sober now. So
okay.
I've always had bad incidents with cops. So
okay.
Deputy Singleton offering words of encouragement, having no idea what Caitlin was going through until this moment.
Is there anything I can do for you? You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you need help with anything at all? Do you need a hug?
Yeah.
Come here.
I moved down here to get away from an abusive relationship.
Caitlin revealed she was in a fight for her life in sobriety. Battling years of addiction and abuse, she had just moved to North Carolina, leaving her 5-year-old son in Maryland so she could get clean and get him back.
Yeah, I've never hugged a cop before. I've always been put in handcuffs by them.
Singleton had no idea his humanity and kindness that day changed Caitlin's life and possibly saved it.
I told him, I was like, I'm ready to give up. I was actually on my way to probably do something that wasn't in my best interest.
Take a deep breath, all right? Everything's gonna be okay, okay? You're on the right path. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing now, okay? All right? Don't lose that hope.
That traffic stop happened back in March.
And I left my family and I left my son.
Now, 6 months later.
This is one of the guys that helped save my life.
Caitlin's celebrating 10 months clean.
Can you say hi?
Doing good?
Can you say it's nice to meet you?
And introducing her son Isaiah to the deputy who gave her the strength to get him back.
Good to see you again. How you been?
Well, you know, don't lose that fight that's in you. Okay? Because there's something in you that's driving you to a better life, right?
Yeah.
All right? Okay? Don't lose that. Hang on to it.
He saw me as a person. And not an addict. And he saw my heart. And he saw that I had potential when so many people had counted me out. It's like in a time of desperation, really, like where I was like questioning, like, God, where are you? And he sent me in. It's like an angel. I don't know.
I really pray that Jesus blesses you for your kindness, sir.
I'm gonna pray for you too.
Thank you.
In Cabarrus County.
You have no idea how much this means to me.
Hannah Getz, Channel 9. Eyewitness News.
And we see so many, like, body cam videos that are the complete opposite of that. So that is just so refreshing. And he really made a big difference for her.
Divine intervention? Mm-hmm. Did someone put him there? And when people talk, they were just like this. And just the question of, are you okay? Flipped it all around.
Everything.
Yeah, changed it around.
She says she will now be 1 year sober coming up this November, and she invited the deputy to come celebrate with her.
And as you saw there, she lives with her son again, which is great, has a full-time job. So congratulations to both of them for a job well done.
Yeah. For someone who's never hugged a cop before, it didn't look like she wanted to let go. And the reason why is that deputy, somewhere within him, knew what the bread of life was and was living out the fruits of the Spirit. She was swinging at him, and he could have swung back. Could have gone not so well. How many of you have seen videos like that, that it doesn't go well? That's what the bread of life looks like. And if we're just over here constantly swinging at each other, we miss the fullness. This young woman is filled. She's filled. Doesn't mean her life's going to be amazing moving forward. It's all kinds of challenges. But it's filled. We need more hugs. We need more hugs in our world. We need people that are willing to ask the question, there's something wrong. Do you need a hug? So I'm gonna invite you right now to turn to your neighbor and give him a hug. No, I'm just joking. You might just do it anyway, I don't know. I told the 9 o'clock I would actually make you guys do it to see what would happen, but. And that's what we're trying to do here at Prince of Peace. We're trying to hug more people because we believe that Jesus is the bread of life. And there's so many people out in our world, in Burnsville, Apple Valley, all the zip codes that are around us that are looking for a hug. They're looking for someone to say, do you need a hug today? That's our future here at Prince of Peace, as we love God and love people, moving into the fruits of the Spirit, reaching out wider and wider and wider, inviting people into that hug, that bread of life. And that's why at this moment in time, we're launching a capital campaign. For those of you who are visiting us here for the first time, or for those of you that don't know what a capital campaign is, every once in a while, churches need to take care of the buildings and the house, just like we have to do in our own homes. It's time for a new roof. It's time for a couple of new items as we move into the future. And in order to get us going on that, we have one more video we want to show you. I want to tell you about an exciting time here at Prince of Peace. We'll be moving into a capital campaign that's called Preserve, Open, and Plant. Preserve, preserving our past, honoring our past, and doing that by moving into our future through replacing our roof with a leaky roof that's over 30 years old. Our insurance company has let us know that we may not be insurable down the road if we don't fix our roof. So if we can't get insurance, we will not be able to gather. We'll have to close down. Open, that we be open to new possibilities. Open because if we are able to reduce our debt, we're going to be able to do so many more things that God is calling us to do. With our debt reduction, can you imagine having a free VBS? I can. Think about how many kids who aren't able to come because we have to charge them. Can you imagine having a medical clinic here at Prince of Peace where we're able to open our space and partner with a medical clinic? Can you imagine kid after kid after kid being deployed from Prince of Peace on a mission trip? We know that mission trips can change lives. Can you imagine kids coming back from those mission trips and living in leadership here at Prince of Peace and in their schools? Plant, an opportunity for us to create green space on our property, space for our kids and our families, space for outdoor worship, space that will invite other people in. Because I just see people gathering around a community in our green space. It also will help with outdoor worship, be an opportunity for us to continue that strong tradition here at Prince of Peace. And it's because of your generosity that's continued to be steady and growing that leads us to believe that now we're healthy enough financially to ask you to give more. So a capital campaign over and above your regular giving. Can you imagine a future where our sanctuary is full? I can. Imagine a future where we have green space for our kids to run around and play and be together all summer into the fall. I can. We want to plan now for the future. God is moving in this place, in a different way, in a new way, but also in a faithful way. We're standing on the shoulders of those that have come before us. We want to honor that. We want to recognize that. So now is the time. When I got back here 2 years ago, we started with listening sessions. We had 12 or 13 different listening sessions. We had an online survey where 799 of you filled that out. We did a feasibility study, and we're able to have lots of one-on-one conversations with people. And as we're getting pushed by our insurance company to fix our roof, we realized now was the time. Now is the time to plan for the future. I'm excited. I can imagine lots and lots and lots of things happening here. I hope that you're excited too. I hope that you can imagine as well. So the first thing we want you to do as you begin to imagine is to pray. We're not asking for you to think about a donation at this time, but we want you to pray about it. Pray and see where God is calling you to live into the next phase here at Prince of Peace. And then as we move forward more and more, you get more and more information about how all of this is going to work. So there are, I think, five different leadership teams that are made up of all volunteers. A lot of this is being run by our volunteers. And one of those teams, they thought it would be a great idea, as our consultants were telling us, to try to drop by everybody's house here at Prince of Peace. Anybody get a letter in the mail? Yeah, I did too. Well, they're kind of moving that. We're not doing that. We're not going to show up to your house. We had some people go, are you coming to my house to ask me for money? You're knocking on the door. We may not answer. No, we have a gift. We have a, do what? Come on over. That's right. It was, yeah. But we have an opportunity for you to get some information, and we're going to do that next Sunday, and then the Sundays following when you come, you'll be able to pick up a little bag that has a ton more information about that, along with the free breakfast on that Sunday morning as well. So we are excited for all of that to happen, and then as you walk out of this space this morning, you'll be getting a flyer from our ushers that is our first flyer to kind of help you understand a little bit more about where we're headed. So we are excited. It's going to be a long journey, but we ask you to start with prayer.